Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
305 BGS. Gorgeous day out there. Going to be a gorgeous night. Just having dinner with the kids last night. Nick's 26, Phoebe's 16, and I don't know how it came up, something about baby teeth. And we all started laughing because we remembered that when Phoebe was that age where she was losing her teeth and, you know, you're trying to explain, it's nothing to worry about, honey, and you're going to have a whole new set of teeth. And Phoebe's always been Phoebe. She's always been very, she's a lot like me. She's very introspective and says weird things. And she said, is it going to happen to my eyes? And you're like, what do you mean? She goes, are these my baby eyes? And we're like, what? And but it got weird. She's like, are they going to get loose and then fall out? And my adult eyes, I'm like, stop talking. Oh my God, what's wrong with you? But it's such an interesting thought. Like, yeah, why doesn't other stuff do that? That is my baby eyes. No big deal. Do you see what happened with Jamie Spears?
I saw that she feels like it's time for her to speak her truth. And then she wanted to make a donation to like a mental health charity. And they said, we're good.
Yeah. Ooh. They turned her down. She was going to give the proceeds of her new It Wasn't My Fault book. Who the hell? Okay, I'm sorry. I know she's a human being. Who the hell cares about Jamie Spears?
No one does.
Nobody.
They only care because she's Britney Spears' little sister.
No one cares about her story. No one's going to read her autobiography. Like, it doesn't matter. No one cares.
They only care because she's Britney's sister, and she seems to have had a role to play in the fact that Britney's life has been terrible for the past 13 years. So, yeah, no one wants to hear it, and no one wants you to do, like, a redemption tour or, you know, your attempt at it. No one wants your dirty money from, like, even from Britney's recovery now, she's trying to make money off of that.
No, it's disgusting.
She's gross.
I'm kind of on this whole story. Like, I just want her to have some happiness and we all stop staring at them.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. We're just peering into all of their issues.
But like you guys were talking about yesterday, I don't even know if it was about a single person or not, or just the concept, but Britney, we don't have to stare at Britney. She's putting topless stuff out there all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there really is a fine line between look at me now, but don't look at me now. Mm-hmm. Look at me now. Hey, who the hell you think you're looking at? When's the last time you gave something up and it really worked? For example, Rach, you remember over the few years, you and Andrew have been to my place many times to do NFL fantasy football drafts. And I was so into it. And I was in like five different leagues and I was constantly reading about it. And now I couldn't care less. I haven't been in a fantasy football league for 2 years. I don't watch football. I don't know who's good and who's bad. I couldn't care less. And my life's a little bit better. You know? Like, it wasn't like a bad thing. It's not like drugs or something. But I mean, it's something that took up a lot of my time. I was really into it. Huge thing. And now it's not even a blip on my screen.
I'm trying to think if I've given anything up.
I feel the exact same way about the exact same topic. I used to be so into fantasy football, and I just got an email from my friends that I'm in my league with because I don't set my lineup because I keep forgetting to. And I told them, I was like, well, I actually was going to quit this year, but I forgot to quit also because that's like how not a part of my brain this is right now.
How come I don't really get the fantasy football thing because, I mean, I guess it's not enough. The game's not.
Touchdown. They get touchdowns.
Huh. No, I'm just saying, like, the game's not.
Yes, you're right. It's
entertaining
not.
To watch, so you need to do something else on top of it. Like, why don't they do fantasy? hockey leagues or baseball?
Oh, they do. They do everything. I guess football's just the big one. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
But that's absolutely it. When I was a kid and I was a fan of like the St. Louis Football Cardinals, I would watch a game. Now I don't care. But playing fantasy, you care about like 11 players and you'll watch all the games and how did my guy do? And it gives you something to be invested in. And I've said for years when Frank was my sports guy, the day I stopped playing fantasy is the day I stopped caring about the NFL. And that's exactly what's happened.
Well, because we don't have a team. You know what I mean? A lot of people in St. Louis have claimed the Chiefs. Some people have claimed the Packers or whatever. But it's like we don't have a team to be invested in around here. And for a decade before that, we didn't have a team that was any good to be invested in. So, you know, fantasy football gives you kind of a reason to care if you can bring yourself to care about fantasy
football. But when you pick your team, they're from different teams, right? Your players?
Yeah.
You're basically adding up all of their stats together to get your score, and you want your players to collectively across their different teams have a higher score than your opponent.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to explain it.
Yep.
I watched a 30 for 30 once about the people who invented fantasy baseball. I guess that's where it all started. And it was before the internet. So they would have to like chase down all these different newspapers and write down the stats by hand. It seemed like hell. I mean, I'm sure they had fun doing it.
Oh, I didn't know baseball was first. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Like, you know, fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about that one.
I think
much.
It's less fun for people to play because you have to constantly do your lineups. Whereas, like with football, isn't it like Thursdays and Sundays, and pretty much you don't touch it other than that? Like, the most fun the least amount of work.
Nick has invited me to play baseball and hockey, and I've like, no, because you do it every single day. No thanks. Did you guys see the story about Oberlin College? Okay, so they have a safe space set up. And I'm not sure exactly who it's for, but I can tell you that they needed the radiators changed in this space. And they sent white cisgendered workers to fix the radiators. And at least one of the people there and wrote on behalf of the others saying it's not OK. I'm triggered. I'm in fear for my well-being. This is a safe space. It's for people who are LGBT or people who are black or people who are this. It's not for these people. And we at least need the minimum of like a day's notice so that we cannot be here. But it would really be best if you could just not send these people in. This is when you get like we all have our gag reflexes. We all have our point where we're like, OK, this is getting stupid. This one has hit mine. Like, it's one thing for you to have a safe space. I kind of get it. And then part of me is like, you're at college. It's so you can mix with people and get to know other people and bounce ideas off and be uncomfortable. It's the whole university, united and diverse university. It's what it's for. But when you have your safe space and something needs to be done at the school's expense to make it comfortable for you, but you're uncomfortable with someone coming in because they're different than you, isn't that the opposite of what we're doing?
Well, and it's the important thing to remember is that you can't be in that the space that you consider to be safe. You can't be in that space at all times. It's just not how the world is built, how the world works. And so, you know, you got to be at least prepared to deal with some outside sources. You know what I mean? You got to be prepared to be out of your comfort zone sometimes, because that's life's going to do that to you quite a bit.
So it looks like it was dorms. It wasn't necessarily, I think they were saying like, hey, the dorms are our safe space, but I don't think it was like a designated safe space on campus. And yeah, from what I can tell, they're like, it's also important to keep in mind, this is one person's opinion. It was an op-ed that they put in their school newspaper. So it's not like all of Oberlin College is saying like, white guys are bad, but they were saying like, why didn't you do it over the summer? Why didn't you this? Why didn't you that? I mean, I think the answer is just people don't think about things that deeply. They didn't think it would be an issue to send workers into the dorms to work on the radiators. So, because most people don't have a problem with it. If it was a female dorm and they had very little I've been in a situation before where I've been at my apartment, and this is a couple apartments ago. I woke up and there were two men in my apartment working on the fridge.
Okay, that would be weird.
Yeah.
You had no idea?
They entered the wrong apartment. I walked out and I was like, what is going on? I woke up and they were out there and they're like, were you working on the fridge? Because there's a weird sound. They were like yelling at me and I said, that's not me. They're like, ugh. They were really rude about it. Like, I get like young ladies not wanting to have men in their homes without notice. And like every time, like especially if you get live alone, anytime a maintenance person or someone shows up at your door, you're like, I hope this doesn't go sideways. Like that is a real concern. So I get it from that perspective. But if it's going through the whole dorm and you were given notice in advance, I still get feeling like a little anxious and a little uncomfortable, but maybe just remove yourself for the day and stop making it everybody else's problem.
I get that. But if you were to say, I only want a straight person to fix my fridge, right?
Right.
Yeah, like, good luck in life.
Yeah. Because when you say, I don't want anyone who's cisgender, well, how is that any different than saying, I don't want someone who's black? I mean, you're making a judgment about someone based solely on a fill-in-the-blank attribute of theirs, who they are.
Well, it is a double standard because you're asked, whenever you make a request, like, I don't want it to be a man to do the maintenance on my dorm, you're playing off the sympathy of, like, I am a female, I am physically weaker, I have the room to make a request like this. It's not out of bounds for me to make a request like this, but you're expecting the rest of society to go like, you're right, you are more vulnerable, so we will give in to your request in this circumstance. I mean, you are relying on that when you make a request like that. But don't you feel like we should have that option sometimes? Like if you were, if Phoebe was going to the doctor, I want my daughter to see a female doctor. Do you see the inverse of, like, I don't want my son to see a woman doctor. She's not smart. But if I want my daughter to see a female doctor because I don't want her to be examined by a man, like, that's just kind of like, as a society, we've all kind of made that pact that those kind of requests are okay.
Big difference between someone doing a pelvic exam on my daughter and fixing a radiator. I mean, there's like a Grand Canyon difference between that.
Also, they're not moving in. I mean, it's going to be for a limited amount of time. And if you can't adapt to that or adjust to that, how are you going to function in the world? I mean, just going outside, go to the gas, I don't know, pick a place. It's just, it seems out of balance.
And when you mention someone's sexual preference, you know, I don't think that's ever okay when you say, I don't want someone in here who's cisgender. I don't want someone in here who, like, 96% of the population is heterosexual. That just seems insane because I couldn't say to Becky and Steve, hey, the radiator's not working in my office. Could you send someone? But wait, make sure they're not gay. Like, I'd be gone the next day. So I don't understand how it's okay to do that. Now, I understand what Rach is saying about, you know, there are times when you would be more comfortable with this and this from a safety issue. I get that.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is this seems like a degree of that. I don't agree with that degree, but it just seems like that stretched out to, like, the nth degree of, like, well, it's my private living space, and I would prefer if I didn't have to be here alone with a man. I can get that. I get why it would make someone feel uncomfortable. Do I think, as a society, it's practical to ask for that and get it every time, especially when it's like, how many women are working for this radiator repair company? Like, I'm just saying, like, it's just a continuation of that standard that we do accept in other aspects of working and stuff like that.
I understand what you're saying. Welcome back, 322 DGS. So at 3:30, they're having a news conference about Brian Laundrie from the Gabby Petito case. Evidently, they have found a bunch of his belongings out on a secret trail in Florida that the parents evidently said, oh, you know, there is this one trail that he likes to go to and it's kind of secret. And they've had cadaver dogs out there and the coroner has been out there. So there's whispers that maybe they have found him. Maybe they found his body. They found some other bodies. So we should learn more. And we're going to carry it live at about 3:30. Rach, you've had it with Jen Psaki and Peter Ducey.
Oh, they're just, it seems like every day on Twitter, there's like, it depends on what side of the media you're looking at. It's either Jen Psaki puts Pete Ducey in his place yet again, or it's like, Jen Psaki avoids the question as Peter Ducey hammers home, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, I'm sick of you two. You're always arguing. It's never a pleasant back and forth. I feel like both of them wake up in the morning and go like, why, yada.
And
like,
neither of them are that clever.
Right, exactly. It's never as exciting as it's promised to be. It's never, you know, the burn is never smarts quite like the people describing it say. Like, it's just really boring to me, actually. And I think they both kind of like being in the headlines all the time by arguing with each other. Yeah. I just think it's lame.
I agree.
Just over it.
I feel the same way about Manchin and Sinema, where they just doth protest too much, where anytime there's a mic in front of them, they're like, look, we do not enjoy this.
Right.
I do not enjoy controlling the nation's future. Like, shut up. You kidding me? Of course you do.
I saw a tweet the other day that was so good. It was, I remember when I didn't know who Manchin or Sinema,
yeah,
you know, like their names. And that's so true, yeah, about all of them. We didn't know any of their names. Now we know all of them.
So tell me about the way that planes flush their toilets.
Oh, my gosh. Is this how they do it? I got to tell you this story about this guy who's just in his yard in Windsor, England. He's in his garden just having a day, and something from the sky splattered all over him in the backyard, and it turns out it was human waste from a plane flying overhead, and I guess it's usually frozen when they, yeah, drop it out.
Mm-hmm.
So they just drop it out anywhere?
Yep.
Which could kill a person.
Right.
It could. I think they usually try to do it over, like, fields or, like, farms.
Well, apparently this wasn't frozen. So he called the airline to let him know that, you know,
hey,
he was,
you
just
guys,
poo-bombed.
You dumped poop all over,
mm-hmm,
me.
Remember when that happened with Dave Matthews Band?
They're, oh,
like,
yeah.
They're, like, tour bus.
But that was, like, over a bridge, wasn't
it? It was, like,
it?
Over a bridge, and there were, like, kids fishing or something, and they got... Like, it was like somebody having a picnic or something, and they got covered in Dave Matthews poop.
How is that legal to do that?
I know.
It's gotta go somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're like camping in an RV or something, there's specific places you have to get rid of it. What makes Dave Matthews Band or United Airlines better?
I don't think it was legal, and that's why they got in trouble.
Okay.
Like that one specifically.
I mean, that's just nuts.
But this guy called the airline, and they denied it happened. But they later... cop to it because he identified like the plane because he had a route tracking app. And so they had in the city, the city council had an aviation forum over the weekend, and a councilman called it like one in a billion chance. And I guess they're really not doing anything for this guy, but that would be a horrible day.
We are sorry that we pooped on you. That is not going to happen again.
Ugh.
And now the Fisher-Price toy actually works.
Yes, I'm so excited about this. Remember the old rotary-looking phone we all played with when we were kids?
Yeah.
Although I don't know that parents or aunts and uncles are going to be that happy about it because they're making it Bluetooth. So it will connect to your phone so you kids can actually make phone calls with this. And it's only like $60. But yeah, can you imagine like your nieces like wanting to call you every time they pick up that phone, which would be cute and fun for like the first three times.
Yeah, exactly. It would be cute. It also seems more dangerous than like fun, you know, just to like let a child have access to a phone whenever they want. Mm. Call in China.
Yeah, no kidding.
China.
Yeah, here's the world. Good luck. Enjoy yourselves.
It's still going to be rotary, though, so they do have to figure out how to
Blair would be ordering
actually
pizzas
dial. Pizzas?
Yeah.
Like, I'm old enough that we just had a rotary phone, and if it was a real emergency to call someone, like, it took you a certain amount of time.
Oh, yeah. There was nothing quick about it. And then remember when it, like, would get stuck, and you'd have to, like, go back and do it again?
That's so
weird.
That was
horrible.
Going to take you to the
My
news
name's
conference.
Michael McPherson. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI Tampa Division. As you're aware, the FBI and the Northport Police Department and our state and local law enforcement partners have been searching the area of the Carlton Reserve for Brian Laundry, a person of interest in the murder of Gabby Petito. Earlier today, investigators found what appears to be human remains, along with personal items such as a backpack and notebook belonging to Brian Laundry. These items were found in an area that up until recently have been underwater. Our evidence response team is on scene using all available forensic resources to process the area. It's likely the team will be on scene for several days. I know you have a lot of questions, but we don't have all the answers yet. We are working diligently to get those answers for you. We are grateful for the dedication and professionalism of the Northport Police Department, along with our partners from the state and local agencies. Complex investigations such as this cannot be accomplished by one agency alone, but there's just too many agencies to name them all here today. Portions of the Miakahatchee Creek Environment Park and Carlton Reserve will remain closed to the public until further notice. This is an active and ongoing investigation, so we ask the public to maintain distance from any law enforcement personnel, equipment, vehicles, and other related activity for the safety of the public and to protect the integrity of our work. We have no additional comment related to today's activities. Our FBI Denver office is the lead investigative agency, and all future inquiries should be directed to them. We appreciate the tremendous support from the public and continue to ask for your assistance in bringing this investigation to close. Thank you.
Was the backpack found near the body?
Justice for Gabby!
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 Justice for Gabby.
All right, so there you go. That was pretty short and sweet. Frustrating. Isn't it? Okay. You probably don't need my commentary here, but I understand that this case has captured the nation and the world's attention. I understand why. I get it. But it's just a case. It's just something that happened between two human beings that sadly probably happens quite often. And it's great that it will call attention and people will be more aware of it. I certainly am, having a 16-year-old daughter and just thinking like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. But like bad boyfriends and bad spouses and stalkers. And it's something I'm very worried about with her. And it's made me sort of redouble my efforts and my thoughts and talk to her about it. But at the end of the day, it's just two people that this happened with.
I have a thought on this. And I might be way off base. And tell me if I am. If I were the families of all these other missing people that they've found, I would be a little annoyed right now because it's like, oh, so you only found my child, my dad, my brother, whatever, because you were looking for the famous, the one that's everybody's talking about.
And that's true.
Like, and that would be so frustrating. Like, were you not even looking for my people? You just found them incidentally?
Gabby Petito is tragic and sad, and I can't even imagine being the parents, but it's no more sad than anyone else that is killed or murdered or abused or raped or what have you. It just happened to be the one that caught our attention became famous.
Mm-hmm. And all these other bodies being incidentally found. It's like, so were you not even looking for them?
Yeah.
Because you only found, because clearly they weren't that hard to find since you stumbled upon them while looking for the famous people.
Yeah. The Justice for Gabby people yelling, I'm not, like, it's great that you care and that you're there, but what do you want? Like, what's your end game? What do you want them to do?
Yeah,
you,
trying to
the
find
FBI
them.
Just found what probably is the remains of Brian Laundry, who probably is the guy that killed her, and he's not going to pay a price any bigger than being bones at the bottom of a dried up pond. So what exactly is it that you're looking for? Like, remind me.
Yeah.
Hello, Kev.
Hi. Yeah. This whole thing is odd to me because this particular case is a couple of things, right? I mean, it's okay, so there's a pretty young blonde girl that's missing, and that tends to overshadow, like, other people that are missing, whether it's minorities or young men that are missing, young boys that are missing. I mean, like, that it turns into this phenomenon. But this is also a part of, like, how ridiculous social media celebrity is, right? I mean, she's known or was known because she was on social media, because she had a following, and it turns into, like, her army making this thing even bigger. And then, of course, that gets television ratings. So you're going to get that, and it's going to get clicks on internet stories. So now all of the outlets have to ramp up their coverage on it because, ooh, we get clicks. And, oh, man, that's going to get some eyeballs when we put that on TV tonight.
As a young woman, how's it hit you, Rach?
I mean, I totally agree with you guys. And what Andrew said is it's true. I mean, there are plenty of people out there who go missing, and it feels like nobody cares. And they were on this, you know, isolated path that no one figured out that it was there until someone famous went missing. So, I mean, I get why we're all so fascinated with it, because she was a public figure and because we all kind of can sift through the evidence and watch the video and try to look for clues. So I think that's part of the reason why we're so drawn. But, you know, that starts with she's very pretty and she was on YouTube and, you know, people just were naturally drawn to her in the first place. So I'm with you, too, on the people chanting. Like, I mean, I feel like they feel like they have to do that. Like, we're going to let everyone know that we're here demanding justice for Gabby. Whether or not it fits into this context or not, we'll just say our piece.
I feel like also we're such simple monkeys that this would not have been nearly as big of a case if we didn't have that footage from when the police pulled up on them. You know, like if we didn't have that piece of footage where we could see them interact and feel like we kind of knew them, or we're all amateur sleuths and amateur psychiatrists. No, I could tell by the way he darted his eyes to the left that he's done this before. I feel like if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't even be talking about it now. But I mean, I guess this goes all the way back, like the Lindbergh baby. And like, we're always going to have a crime du jour that's going on that fascinates us.
Something. There's always one or two that fascinate, right? But it's funny how they always seem to revolve around people that are either wealthy or famous in some way or another.
Or attractive.
Which is that too. Which is just odd, because who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. I don't not care about a wealthy person's son that's missing or whatever, but I don't care about that more than I would care about any other. And I can't remember how long ago it was, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I was on a jury for a human trafficking case. And this guy was, you know, like, coaxing teenage girls away from their homes and then forcing them into prostitution and crossing state lines and doing all this. These girls were missing for months and months and months, and you would never have known it. It was never a story. It was never reported. Now, maybe it's because those people, the family members, didn't know how to get the word out, or didn't use social media, or didn't have contacts or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. Like, just seeing that once and you're like, okay, so this all happened and nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
And yet when you do know about one other thing, it's national news. It's crazy.
And I made fun of it at the time, because about 3 weeks ago, there was a brief outcry from people saying, hey, my African-American son has been missing for a year and no one seems to give a crap. And for about a week, CNN and NBC were featuring missing people of color, and then they stopped.
And the missing kid of the day is,
and I was
seriously,
like,
it was like that.
Wow. Like, wow, that you just really outed yourself as, we didn't care until you complained. Then we cared for about a week, and we stopped doing it.
It's a question that popped into my mind with all of this, too, is how much of what the problem is actually, like, just the average people not paying attention versus authorities not paying attention. Like, are there more resources being put into this case than would, say, any other? I don't know. That's a bigger question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the general public perceives, or what gets put on TV or talked about on social media, is one thing. But what is more important, and maybe it influences the resources that are brought to bear on a case, but what's more, to me, more important is that every case is treated equally equally within the system, so that, you know, and I know a lot of it's based on how much evidence there is and what leads do you have to follow. And in this case, you're finding more leads and evidence because people are constantly talking about it and analyzing things. So I don't know. But I do think that the resources applied should be at least reasonably the same.
Back in 2013, I was the MC for El Monstero did a Unplugged Night. And they did a charity, and it was for this charity that rescues girls who have been sex trafficked. Mm. And they have a safe house here in St. Louis, and I had to be blindfolded to go there because the people who do it will come take them, hurt them, kill them. And so I spent about 2 hours talking to these girls. The youngest one was 12. And then there were some teenagers, and they were very, very open, and it was absolutely horrifying. Mm. And I'll never forget this one girl, because she reminded me of Phoebe, just like this cute little blonde girl, that because a lot of times what they do is they have these Confederates who are usually very attractive, who they'll say, like, go get her. And they will long con, buddy up, become besties, get them drugs, all this kind of stuff, and then get them. This girl, the traffickers picked her out, because she fit a role that they needed. She lived in suburbia. They pulled up into her driveway with a U-Haul, went to the door, knocked on the door. She answered it. They grabbed her. They threw her in the U-Haul. Gone.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Just like that.
That is crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just.
How'd she finally get out? Did
what they would do, as I understand it, is they would go to like Craigslist or Backpage or whatever and look for ads for this and look for people who look especially young, book an appointment, get in the hotel room or whatever and say, are you being trafficked? If you are, tell us right now and we can take you out of here. And most of the time they'd say no because they're afraid they're going to get killed. But every now and then they'd say yes, and they would have the, you know, resources ready to basically kidnap them back and take them to these safe houses, contact the authorities, contact their parents. And
it's similar to the case that I was on a jury for. Almost the exact same thing. It was all on
was
those online ads. Yeah, it was in St. Louis. It was in the federal court. And it was same idea in that it was targeting people either on social media, like targeting the girls on social media, and then recruiting them and making them friends and taking them on trips and spending money on them and all that. And then eventually just pushing them into this world and keeping them there against their will, in part by alienating from their parents and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
There was a website where they're asking people to take pictures of any hotel rooms you stayed at. And then you would post it on the website for so they could identify maybe if someone sent a picture, which hotel they would be staying in. You know what I'm saying? So kind of a group.
Yeah. Crazy. Welcome back, guys. 350. Kevin Wheeler's brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. So the news conference was just at 3:30 where they have found, looks like a campsite where Brian Laundrie was. They found some human remains. They're suggesting that it's probably him, but they're not saying. And already, Kevin and Rach were telling me about how Twitter's just losing it.
I mean, people are nuts, man. I mean, there was a tweet 8 minutes ago that said, if Brian Laundrie was dead this whole time, I've basically been living for nothing these past 5 weeks.
Like, it's just weird.
Are you serious? Like, if that's true, I mean this seriously. I'm not being a smartass. Go get help. Because if you're living vicariously through a story like this, and it's like what's getting, you know, you're attached to it like that for 5 weeks, you need help. I mean, I don't understand how people would. I mean, I don't know that person, so who knows what their sense of humor is. Maybe they're mocking other people that are like that, whatever. But the fact is that there are people, there's more than one of those kinds of tweets out there. There's a lot of them if you scroll through.
So well, I guess they got pulled over in Moab, Utah. That's where the body cam footage is from. Someone tweeted and at the police department and said, you have the blood of two people on your hands.
What does that mean?
This whole thing could have been stopped if your officers had done their job. What are you talking about? They separated them from the not like. Do you think that it's like an episode of Law and Order where it's like everything is solved in less than 60 minutes? Like, they took the steps that they needed to take in that scenario.
And what could they have arrested either one of them
for? I was surprised they did that, to be honest. I mean,
oh, you'd think most of the time they'd be like, all right, guys, if neither of you are mad at each other, just, you know, cut it out. But I think it was because they had admitted to an altercation that they could either arrest someone or they could force them to separate for the night, which is what they did.
And I'm sure there's been a lot of experts disagree, but I've seen two or three experts on domestic abuse who were on different shows who said, I thought the police handled it really well. So,
I mean, if they arrested every single group of, you know, part, not couple, or arrested one of the two of the couple every time there was an episode like that. I mean, I'm not saying you can't take it seriously and not arrest people when there's some clear evidence what happened.
Also,
stuff happens a lot.
For all of the ghouls out there, it's just going to get better for you now, because now it's going to take on a life it never would have.
Right.
Because now no one's going to know exactly what happened. So it's going to be like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries where everyone knows what happens.
Mm-hmm. Kind of going back to how we started all this, why is it this case that Dog the Bounty Hunter got involved in, that the FBI had a press conference that we ran about it? Like, just back to your original point, there are probably so many that went missing already today. Why is it this one? I don't know exactly how I'm trying to say this, but it's like we want our next Netflix, you know, series wrapped up and tied so we can be involved in and watch and be hooked and get our conclusion. It's just so weird how
Well, think about it. What's the difference? And I mean this for real. What's the difference between us right now in 2020 or if we were sitting in the Roman Colosseum? What's the difference? We're just citizens who are being distracted from the truth by the government who just keeps giving us stuff to entertain us. Now, I don't think the government gave us the Gabby Petito case. It's just something that happened. But I mean, we're kind of the same. We have like a bloodlust.
I think we're the same, but we're worse because we've convinced ourselves that this is okay because we have seen so many true crime documentaries and we don't even stop to think like how weird it is to draw entertainment from that. That we're like, no, this is just, I care. I'm helping. Yeah. That's why I'm interested. It's not because it's actually entertaining me in a sick way.
I had never, ever watched a Forensic File. And then my daughter got into them. So, of course, now I'm into them. Mm-hmm. And one time we're sitting there watching it. And most of us have seen Forensic Files. And it's that guy with the voice. And he's like, the blood splatter was underneath the chair. And you're like, oh, okay. But it's like, this is someone's real blood.
Yeah.
Someone's head was really cracked open by a baseball bat.
Someone's family member.
And I'm eating chilies, you know, like just watching it. And they pause it. I got to go to the bathroom. That's bizarre that we do that.
I do think some of that is the curiosity of things that you don't see in normal life. Right. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why, and I hate this more than anything, but it's one of the reasons why people slow down at car accidents. You know, it's not, you don't see it every day. It's not something that everybody experiences themselves. And, you know, when it comes to those, and you don't want to, it's horrible, but this is kind of the safe way to see, oh my God, what is that
now,
like?
I want to be cards up on the table here. If I go home tonight and there's a report that, oh, it's Brian Landry and he also killed three other people, I'm watching it. I'm not better than anyone else. I'm just saying that it's creepy that we do this. It's creepy that I do it. It's creepy that you do it.
I mean, you could say the same thing about all the serial killer cases and how they've all become famous.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, from Charles Manson to, you know,
Ted Bundy,
to all of them. I mean, there have been movies made about them. All those shows you're talking about, documentaries. I mean, it's a curiosity, I guess.
Yeah. Do you see, is it Nicholas Cruz? Is that his name? The Parkland shooter?
Yep.
Has pled guilty and he made a statement with the families in court. And tried to take responsibility, but blamed pot and said, you know, I know that what you want is for me to go on and try to help people. Like, no, that's really not what we want.
No,
at
I just wanted you to go sit in a jail cell.
That was very strange.
Amongst general population.
Very odd.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to be a very odd, demented person to do something like that.
Yeah, it's not the oddest thing he's done. Right. Good point. Thank you. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.